have a thought on our hearts that's been on there for some time. We've been meditating on it.
We want your prayers this morning, Lord, to help us. We want to inspire your faith as we possibly can to receive that divine healing is for the children of God. Now, I say I believe in divine healing. They have an old saying out in the world that before I got saved, I was taught that make a lot of medicine. Find out bars, I guess, when I began to take medicine. I've had pneumonia fever about five times when I was a child. I've had four or five bones broken. I've had paralytic bowels. I've been knocked unconscious. I've been many diseases. I trusted in doctors when I was weak and sick most of my life. Missed a lot of school. Finally quit school. More or less just wasn't able to go. I missed half of the school. But I don't want to say that. But the thought I want to bring this morning is, right now is, that they have a saying in the world about a bad cold. They say if you take medicine, well, you can get well in 2 weeks. And if you don't take any medicine, you can get well in 14 days. Well, now that comes out about the same, doesn't it? I find that very true because I was a man that used to have, before I got saved, I used to have a lot of real bad colds. Didn't make any difference what I take, they would still last about 10 or 14 days. So the reason I say that is that I don't believe that just wearing out an affliction is divine healing. Because God has provided our bodies, He's made it in ways to where that a lot of things will just naturally heal in a certain amount of time. But I don't believe that's divine healing. I believe divine healing is when you're sick and when you've got a need in your body or affliction and when God touches your body and you know that He has touched your body. I don't say that God always just heals right on the spot all the time, but I believe when the prayer is prayed for you when you're sick, I believe you're going to know whether you have the prayer of faith has been prayed or not. I believe you're going to have a witness that the tree had a notch cut around it and you're going to begin to mend right there and then. I believe that you're going to know that you have been touched by the divine power of God right then and right there. If you haven't, then we're going to be able, we should get right down and find out why. Now, down before last, we worked here at the altar till around 2:30 in the morning. I'm not saying this, I just want to use this as a thought. And then this morning, we was here around 1 o'clock or something other like that. We don't mind doing that, but the thought I wanted to bring is that if we heard Brother Stover praying, and he was praying out my message almost, I believe that Jesus came and died to save us from sin, and I believe also that He included in that the divine healing for our bodies.
Amen.
And I believe it's just as real as getting healed from God is just as real as getting saved from God. And I believe and I know that God is just as able to heal a body, more so we would seem, than save a soul.
Amen.
But now when a soul hears the thought, when a soul comes to the altar of prayer, we get right around there. And we begin to pray for him, and we begin to instruct him, and we begin to talk to him, and read scripture unto him, and we'll stay right there, right in this meeting. There have been some that we have prayed with for much as an hour at a time. Why? Because we're waiting for God to save us. We're convinced in our heart that God is able to save. We're convinced in our heart that God wants to save, and God will save. If we'll get right down in that individual, we'll meet the condition of God's word, God will save them. And that's why we linger in prayer. And that's why we tarry and seek and instruct and pray and call on God until that soul gets victory. And then it seems when the prayer healing service comes along, then we just come up and sit down and we lay our hands upon them and we pray and nothing takes place many times. I know God is doing a lot of healing and I know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I believe that God is just as well, or will heal just the same as He ever did. But when a soul comes and you lay hands upon to pray, and it seems like nothing takes place. I don't know about you other brothers, and I don't claim to have the gift of healing, even though I've been desiring that gift, the Bible says, and I've been praying and seeking God, my number one
much prayer to God, and for some time it's more faith in God. And I say this morning that I believe you brothers can go along with me on this, some of you anyway, that when a hand is laid on for prayer, and when the prayer of faith is prayed, whether I pray or any of the other brothers pray, I believe when the prayer of faith is prayed, I believe we can know right there and right then that the prayer of faith has been prayed. And I believe if we're not convinced in our soul that the prayer of faith has been prayed and that the conditions have been met, I believe we ought to deal with that soul and find out just exactly why that they didn't receive the help that they come to get. When that soul comes to be saved, we just won't turn them loose at all. We realize that the soul is more important than the body. But I believe, according to the Word of God, that the same sacrifice, the same atonement, paid for our redemption, paid for our healing also.
Amen.
Yes, amen. You pray for us, Lord.
Amen.
And John, St. John, we're going to start on one side and finish up on another by the help of the Lord. It says in the 29th verse of the first chapter of St. John, it says the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And he said, went on to say, and I saw, and by record, that this is the Son of God. I thought we wanted to get out of that, but in the very first verse, it said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I believe every one of us here this morning will agree that that's true. I believe we will admit and we'll agree that the Son of God is the Lamb of God, which comes into the world to take away the sins of the world. Think about it, Matthew, I believe, about 1:21, it says, She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. I believe we all agree with that. I believe we all are convinced that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, and he also came, we want to prove by the Word of God, that he came to heal your body, just as real, just as sincere, just as sure as he did to come and save your soul. And so today, I believe when people don't get healed, I believe there's a reason for it. When somebody comes to the altar and they get saved, I say when they don't get saved, there's a reason. They don't yield themselves to God. They don't meet the conditions of God's Word for some reason or another that they don't get saved. I believe now you're going to say, well, I've had affliction a long time, and you're saying now there's something wrong in my life because I'm not healed. No, sir, I'm not going to say that because I believe that there's people in paradise today waiting for the judgment day that went there because God permitted them to bear an affliction right all through their life that kept them humble and submissive unto God. But my thought today is that I believe we all believe in a sure, steadfast salvation. We believe in being delivered from sin. We believe, like the record of the message last night, being brought up out of the pit, delivered out of the bank, and go and sin the Lord. That's what we all believe, and that's what we stand for, and that's according to the Word of God. But our thought today is that God, I believe when you have an affliction on your body, I believe when you have sickness, or when you have a disease, I believe and we'll come to God, and we'll meet the conditions of God's Word, that God may not, if it's to the glory of God, that God may not heal you, but I do believe and I'm convinced in my heart that God will make known unto you just why that affliction's there. I don't believe that we got to walk around in darkness and wondering what's the matter. Why have I got this affliction? Why have I got that affliction? Or why don't God heal me? I don't believe we got to do that. I believe we can seek God and tarry before God and pray and seek God until God, if he don't see fit to heal us, that he'll reveal to us just why that he's permitting that to linger upon us. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But we're convinced then that God is able to our soul that to heal sins, fall and forgive him. Right there in righteousness. And so what happened was, we're all convinced of that. We believe it right down in our heart that when Jesus spoke the word, that his sin was forgiven him. Right there and right then. I believe his sin was forgiven him. And then he went on to say a little bit more. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart. And he said, I was so forth and fasting, but our thought is, and immediately when Jesus perceived his spirit, that they were reasoning among themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? You know that they are made to believe that many folks miss the hearing of God because they're trying to reason things out and because they're trying to figure out why is this, why is that, how come I got this, how come I got to carry this, I've been good, I've been a faithful saint of God for a number of years, I wonder why that I got to carry this thing around. I say folks today that you and I don't need any reasoning. What we need is a steady, steadfast faith in God. Just as much as we believe that God saves from sin, we'll believe that much that God heals the body. The work will be just done, just as sure as it will if you're seeking salvation.
Amen.
And he said then, Jesus, now we're all convinced in our heart that God, that Jesus, when he spoke the word, that he was, his sin was forgiven. And he said then, all which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to rise and take up thy bed along. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the body, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way to thy house. I believe that both of us here are convinced in our soul that when Jesus spoke to the man and told him to take up his bed and walk, I believe he took it right up and walked off with the man. We all will believe that. But I'm made to believe that a lot of us believe it in our head and not right down in our heart. We're convinced in our heart that God is able and willing and will save every soul that'll meet the conditions of God's word. We're convinced of that. But folks, today what we need to do is to get real convinced in our heart that God is just as able and just as willing to heal a body as he is to save the soul.
Amen.
I'm trying to, by the help of the Lord, I'm not doing it. The Lord is trying to help us to see our privilege in the Lord. He's trying to help us to see just what it's going to take in order for you to get healed. I don't know about, I know the other brothers are too, but this has been a real burden on my soul for some time now. There's quite a number of folks around among us, good saints of God, living, I believe, just a good, pure life in the sight of God, and still are permitting to linger and to carry afflictions on their bodies, and some of them suffering severely, and say, folks, today, I say that the Bible says, oh, you say, you come along, and you say, the Bible says, that the afflictions of the righteous are many, but it's a little more to that verse, and he says, the Lord delivers them out of them all, thank God. I say now, that God don't heal everybody, but I do believe that God will deliver you out of things, where you can bear your affliction, and know it to the glory of God, and go right on through this life, bearing your cross, bearing your affliction, and know that you're doing it to the glory of God.
Yeah.
I believe that. And he went on to say there, he said, forgive that. Now there's another, just to establish our thought a little more. Over here in the 7th chapter of Luke, Jesus went down to the Pharisee's house, and there was a woman came in who was a sinner, and she sat right down to his feet, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and to wipe them with her hair and so forth, and they began to speak unto her, and say, if he knew this woman was, why he knows she was a sinner, he was a prophet, and so forth and so on. But thought of, and most of you know the story, that after that he had went on and talked to Simon, and said, unto whom much is forgiven, love is much, and so forth, that our thought we will establish, after that he had done it, he said, wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love is little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now, folks, today, we're not preaching to the sinners, nor less, but I say today we're trying to bring out the saving part in order to connect it up with the healing part. I want you to know that your healing is just as a strong that God has saved from sin. And he'll save the vilest of sinners. As the song said, he saved a wreck like me. I've always said, if the Lord would save me, in my condition, he'd save anybody. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, I've got no doubts, no fears, no unbelief at all, that I'm not ready to meet God right now. I'm glorified by God, and I'm convinced of that, I believe that, and I know that I'm saved from sin, and I'm glorified in the sight of God. I know that in my heart. Folks, today, if you could get a hold of me, either one, or me too, if we could get a hold of the faith to believe, just as sure as you believe that you're saved, when you get a hold of the faith to believe for the healing of your body, I believe it'll take place. I believe it will. Jesus, now we see it, that Jesus came along and delivered them from sin. Now let's turn over onto the other side of the picture just a little bit. Over here in Matthew, I believe it's about the third chapter somewhere, where they said, just to get a verse or two along here and to establish our thought. That's what we're trying to do, is to establish our thought in your mind. It said there, and he said, it's about 423. And when Jesus went about, all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness, and all manners of disease among the people. Now, we have proof to you by the word of God that God does forgive sin, that Jesus did, and he forgives sin, and he saved folks, and delivered them from sin, and from death, and now we find him here doing the very same thing. I wonder just why that we can't be as convinced in our soul that Jesus will heal as we will that he'll save. Now you say, I believe in divine healing. I do too. And I know that about everyone had their hands up that they've been healed by God. And I don't doubt that one bit. But both today, there's no use for us to deny there's just some old disease hanging around, cancers and all these things, and diabetes and heart troubles and nervous conditions. I believe that God wants to heal some of it. I believe that.
Sure
I believe he will heal. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to get off his will, but I believe he will.
He will. He will. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same one that saved that man was brought there with a body and looked right down upon him and said, thy sins forgive thee. The same one that looked right down into that sinful woman's eyes as she was there with tears running down. Jesus looked right down into her face and said, thy sins are forgiven thee. I believe the same thing done when he brought these folks along here and they was healed. They was sick. They had body. They had many different diseases. But the Bible says that he healed of every one, thank God.
Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe it so. Agent, rather go follow him along. Agent about 16 minutes. He said, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all of our sins. Everyone, those that came to him, he came into his own over there with the Jewish people, and he said he came into his own, but his own received not. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the Son of God. And now we find him here, and as thou, he said there with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus bore our sicknesses right upon the cross of Calvary, and he provided a way to where that you and I could be healed, and where that we could be. I want to establish there in your mind and in your heart that healing is just as real. It's provided for the church just as same as salvation is provided for the sinner man. I believe that.
Yeah.
Amen. If you get tired of sitting on them hard seats, stand up. Because I can preach to you standing up just same as I can sitting down. Don't make any difference to me. Now we find in the 50th chapter of Isaiah, Matthew said there that he did that because it was prophesied back there that it was going to be so, that he bore our sins, bore all of our as willing and just as able as
to heal us as he is to save us.
Amen.
Once you get that in your heart now, establish right in there. And to whom is the Lord revealed? For he says, even on this verse of the he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him, but he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We like to quote them scriptures, don't we? We like to remind the Lord that you promised now that you bore our griefs and you bore our sorrows. We like to remind you of that, don't we? We like when we're in grief, when things are going wrong, and when sorrow is hard, and when things come along, we go down on our knees in prayer, and we begin to call upon God, and we say, Lord, you said that he bore all our griefs and carried all our sorrows. We believe that because the Word of God says so. But let's read a little bit more. And he said, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We believe that. We're convinced of that. That when he hung on the cross there and shed his life blood, when he was bruised and when he was afflicted, for all he said, for our iniquity, we believe that. We believe that Jesus paid the supreme price and gave his life blood to redeem mankind from sin. We believe that, and we're convinced of that in our souls. But there's a little bit more here. And he said then, the chastisement of our peace was up on him, and now he didn't say and anywhere else. He just said there, I want you to get this far. He said he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and esteemed the stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But here's the word. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now he just linked all those three right up there together, didn't he? He didn't separate it. But he said here then, and with his stripes we are healed. A separate thing. That's a separate thing. The divine healing of the body is a separate thing from salvation, from being redeemed from sin. He said there that he was wounded and bruised for our iniquity, for our sin, and he was. Praise the Lord. And his stripes, we are healed with his stripes, just as safe as he gave his life, that you and I can be saved, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. It's already your healing, just as same we preach and we testify that Jesus has already paid the price. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. That the plan of redemption is already settled. And that God, there's not going to be any other plan. You're going to have to meet the conditions of God's Word if you ever get saved. I believe that. But God, the plan, he said, with his stripes, ye were healed. We are healed, he said. And I believe Peter had something to say. Right along that line there, over there somewhere, and he said, for his own self, bear our sins in his own body. Now here we go again. He said to us, he said to his own self, bear our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Praise the Lord. He said he bore there our sins and our griefs and our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. It's a twofold, brother. A sober place is prayer. It's a twofold blessing. for if sin sows me, then I believe in the church of God that you and I don't have to be sick on her. I'm not going to tell you not going to be sick, but I'm going to tell you can be well. We don't have to have the blessing of the Lord. You know, folks, today, I know this is true. There's folks right here, pastors here, you can witness for this. Back here, maybe it was a year or two ago, there was a flu was going around. Every winter before last, I guess. Just about the whole congregation. I believe one Sunday night, it was just four or five of us to meet. About the whole congregation was down with flu. And Sister Sharp over there, she was very bad sick. And I'm not saying this to say that my faith is any greater than I have any more power with God than anyone else. But I just want to bring out a thought right here. And so what happened was I was still working on the job. And my wife, she was spending day and night almost helping out around the congregation. And I was trying to work in the day and set up for the sake of the night and cook breakfast for the boys and get them to school and so forth. But one day on the job, I was standing there on the job and I barely take a hold of me. It just gripped me. And I felt my bones begin to ache. And I felt my muscles were just aching. You know how it is. When you get the flu, and I felt it just coming right down. And most of the folks that were getting it, they were taking it right in their back first. And it was quite a number of folks going around. But you know, I stood there and God just impressed me, revealed to me that you don't have to have this. And he gave me two or three scriptures. I wish I could remember, but I thought to stand on. And he told me now, you don't have to have this unless you want it. And I said, surely I don't want to thank. And so I went home for lunch that day. My wife will verify this. And I told my wife, I said, I feel like that I'm coming down with the flu. But I said, the Lord has revealed to me that I don't have to have it if I don't want it. And so I said, I want us to do that. I want you and I to go into the bedroom and I want us to get down. I want us to pray just as earnestly as we know how and call on God. And I said, I'm going to take a stand against it. I'm going to refuse to take it. And so what happened was we went over to Sister Sharp that night and the visit with her, she was very sick. And Brother McCoy and them and Brother Bill had it and so forth. Some of them was there. And I went over there and I told them what I was going to do. And they, I said, now I want you to anoint me and pray for me. That's all I like now. I've met the conditions and God has told me to stand and I'm going to refuse. Now here there was a number of folks. I don't want to say what kind of went through some of their mind, but the devil was saying to me, what are you going to do now? You boasted that you're not going to get sick. And what are you going to do when you get flat on your back and have to call them out there and pray for you? That's what the devil said. But my faith, God encouraged my faith and strengthened me. So, brother, I'm going to anoint me and pray for me. And I said, I'm going to refuse to take it. And you know, I got up the next morning and my fever was raging. I've been going to pray for it. But I was hot. And I went right on, got out of bed, went right on to work. And I stood there that day and I began to suffer. I just take a firm stand against it. I said, I resisted in the name of the Lord. I refused to take it on the authority of God's word. And I thought it'd give me some relief. And so when I came home that night, I went to bed. And oh, I woke up sometime in the night and I was sweating. My wife, you could just take her hand, just break the sweat right over my back. some dangerous to our body or dangerous to our health, I don't think we ought to even take her that night. But we don't want to, and we don't want to pet that night. Now, if we pet sin, if somebody comes here to the altar of prayer and they pray and it happens, it's hot weather, and the one comes down, they can't hardly yield to the Lord, and it gets pretty hot down in there sometimes, and if you're not careful, you'll say, well, you'll be all right, just take the faith and go ahead. That happens sometimes, now, folks. No use to deny it, but it does, and the individual goes away from the altar of prayer, they don't know where they got saved up. You say we hear about healing. Every time we hear about healing, and we say now, it has to be so. We believe that. If conditions are made, it has to be so. But folks, today, I believe it's getting saved. I believe you're going to know about when you get saved. I know just as well when God forgive my sins. I know just as well when I was converted, when I was changed, and when I was given a new heart and new life, as I'm standing right here today. And I don't care how many devils came along. I don't care how accusations come. I still knew I was saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. But if I got up from there and I had to know whether I was saved or not, if I didn't get anything from the God or didn't get no assurance in my heart, then the devil would come along and he said, you're not saved. And I couldn't have actually said that down the heart of one saved because I wasn't assured in the heart. I don't believe. Now we know God healed. It bears out that he healed as we go sometime. Scripture bears that out. But folks, today it's hard for me to understand how sometimes that you could be prayed for and still go on for weeks and months and still have the same symptoms, the same pain, and the same misery. I tell you, it's hard to say you're healed under those conditions. It may work that way sometimes, but it's going to be awful hard.
That's a message to your guy.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little fella about so high, lying on this porch with blood dripping off my nose.
Yes.
I was sleeping with the youngster nose face right out there. They prayed for me. And I got up. But the blood still dripping, they got to heal it.
Yes, amen.
I knew it.
That's right. You knew it healed you.
And when I got up, it quit.
Amen. When you got up, it quit. If you know God healed you, that's fine. That's what I said a while ago. If when you're prayed for healing, if you get that assurance in your heart, that faith, the prayer of faith has been saved, prayed, and your life is clear of God, even though the symptoms are still there, you know in your heart that you're still healed. But now if you don't get no assurance, if you don't get anything from God, and the symptoms are still there, it's going to be awful hard for you to say, I'm healed. Amen.
That's right.
And I believe that God is willing and able, and I believe he will.
Amen.
And I believe he will, just like I told you a while ago. I got something from God. I had all the symptoms. I had all the fever. I had the sweating and the chill. But I had assurance in my heart that God, I said, if you'll take a stand against it, you don't have to have it.
Praise the good Lord.
I carried it for a couple of days, but I was still healed.
Amen.
Because I knew right down in there that God was doing the work, like the brother said. Folks, today, God wants to heal. And it's provided for. It's for us. It ain't something that you got to get out and beg for. It ain't something that you got to repent for unless there's something to repent for. I made many times to believe that folks in place of praying so much for their bodies to be healed, I believe you ought to be praying for God to reveal yourself to me. Make fire the arm of God who has believed their report and to whom is the Lord, arm of the Lord revealed unto. I believe we ought to get right down to business with God if we don't, if we have an affliction in our body that we've been carrying sometimes. cause you to have unbelief in the ministry. He's going to cause you to think, well, so-and-so not where they ought to be, and so-and-so, I just don't know whether he's able to pray the prayer of faith or not. I say, folks, today, if there's doubts and fear there, it's going to hinder your faith. And the devil don't care how he does it. And you and I, as ministers of God, shouldn't give no place to the devil. If I know that you didn't have no confidence in me, and if you didn't know whether I trusted the Lord or not, and you wasn't familiar with my life, and you come up with wanting to be prayed for, I would not lay my hands on you. If you ain't got no confidence in me, if you don't know me, and you don't, I don't want nobody taking medicine to pray for me. I've said to know them the labor among you. I say, folks, today that we need to know who's praying for. And us ministers, you know this, and some people can have, not that God's any respect of ministers, or not that the people are any respect of ministers, I'm made to believe, but some folks, they just, if somebody they got perfect confidence in, somebody they've seen God definitely answer their prayers, and somebody that they know their life, they've watched it for the years, they know they stand through in the test and in the trial, I say when they lay their hands on you, that'll do away with that unbelief. This divine healing is a burden of my heart. I want to see it. Philip went down to Samaria, and it had great joy down there. A number of folks got saved. Why? Because of the thing that they saw. Because of the signs and the miracles that come forth. With God the healing, God is doing the healing everyone that will meet the condition. God will heal it. But I want to see God, not that I want to do it, maybe, but I'd love to see right in the church of God. I'd like to see some real divine gifts of healing. I'd like to see somebody empowered, not me, somebody that's able to bear up under the gift. I'd like to see God give somebody. I believe there's a definite gift of healing in the Bible. Now, God gives his minister power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I say, folks, today, think about it. I read so much. That old brother, Willis M. Brown, he inspires me. When I read his book, he was a Kentucky incident. Well, I wasn't exactly an infidel, but I was also close to it. But anyway, when I read about it, it inspires my faith. It inspires my soul. And I read many times when he would lay his hands upon someone and he'd pray for him. If nothing didn't take place, he began to find out why. Oh, many folks will tell you the same. If you come around and question them, they're lying. Want to find out about it. Our brother Chandler brought out in the angry meeting a real good thought along that line. He said, if you come and you call for the elders of the church to pray for you, then the elders have a right to question you. They have authority and a right to inquire into your personal life. If that's what he thought. If you call them for help. But now, if they just come along and just happen to see you sick, this is what he brought out. If they come along and just see you're sick and you don't call for them, then they don't have no right to question you or to inquire into your personal business. But if you call for the elders of the church and you're wanting help from them, then they have the authority and the right to inquire into your life. I believe that.
Amen.
You call a doctor. You call him. He lays a little pill bag down and you set it down. And the very first thing he'll start asking is a lot of questions about your personal life. How about your family? What kind of home was you brought up in? Was your mother good to you? Was your father good to you? Was this disease passed down? Or was it put over or something like that? Why, you call it. But if the doctor just been going down the road and stopped by your house, he wouldn't have had no right at all in prior to a bit. But if you call it, then you're leaving yourself open for an inquiry if you want to find out. Folks, today, when we come to the altar to get saved, if we're really sincere in it, we don't care what the minister's asking to do. The only thing we're looking for is to get saved right there. Get delivered from sin out of the pit, as the brother brought out. And we don't care how they question you or what they ask you or personal questions or anything about it. I say if we do the same thing to him,